This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Tig.
Cheryl, we have got a great episode today. If our listeners are patient enough to get through moments where we veer off and talk about bunions.
No, there's not a huge, don't panic, you guys. There's not a huge bunion.
Panic? That's why discussion. We keep listeners. We have people with massive bunion problems that tune in every week.
We talk about Laura Dern sneaks in there.
Laura Dern does.
Mick Jagger's in there a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Keith Richards.
Let's just get started.
Okay, let's get right to it. Ladies and jerks, welcome to Cheryl with an S.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling
faintly. I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story. Hey, Tig.
Hey. Hey, Cheryl. Hey.
How's it going? You sound down. Are you down?
No, I'm doing all right.
You got a lot popping?
Yep. Been doing shows and then went and moved all the furniture out of my stepfather's house.
That's so hard.
Yeah. You know, I was stressed because one moving truck needed to go to my brother. One moving truck needed to go to storage. There's so much going on at one time. And I was like, clearly very stressed. Plus, there was no internet at his house.
Yeah.
And this really incredible mover just, I'm telling you, there were like 7 people in the house working, packing, moving.
Yeah.
And he just said, hey, I can tell you're stressed, and I just want you to know, don't worry. I'm going to stay here until everything's taken care of. And
oh
it was
God.
Like, he wasn't even like the boss man. You know what I mean?
He was just a guy that could read the room.
Truly. And I did feel, I was like, oh, like I couldn't believe. And if I was a religious person, I would have been like, he was sent from the heavens above, or my parents sent him to me to
Aww.
Take care. But it was just like,
that
he was just
so
such,
nice.
Oh my gosh. It meant so much to me. And there was all this furniture that I just said, you know what, if you want this, and it was like nice, like bedside tables and like a cabinet, like a, whatever they're called, dresser, and like Rick's office, his work cabinets. And I was like, if you want this stuff, you can have this stuff. And he was like, oh my God. And I said, and honestly, I'm giving this to you. Like, you can truly burn it, sell it, make more money, or put it in your apartment. And he was like, oh, I'm keeping that. Oh, oh my God. He was so, anyway, it was just a nice, it was nice.
It was nice. It was a nice connection with another person who had empathy.
honestly, as crazy as it sounds, I feel like he became somebody within those 2 days that I feel like I could call him and be like, hey, John, could you go to Rick's house and like take his car to like, of course I'd pay him, but I mean. Right.
But you trusted him.
He feels like he would do anything in the world. He was just, I just loved him. Kindred spirits. I just loved him.
Well, now I love John.
Yes. And how are you, Cheryl?
I'm doing fine. My daughter's getting ready to graduate and prom is coming up and graduation. I had to order a boutonniere, which for some reason she calls a bayonet.
What is that a word for it or?
Not at all. Oh, she was like, can you order the bayonet? And I'm like, what? Like a gun with a
like from the Civil War?
That you can stab people with? She's like, no, the flower that the guy wears. I'm like, oh, a boutonniere? And she's like, yeah, I don't know why. So prom is coming up and then graduation.
And how are you feeling?
It's hard.
Yeah.
I just want to go with her.
To prom and off to college.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Like any good helicopter parent.
I just am in the dorm next door. I don't have to be in the room with her, but just like, just down the hall. Like, Kat, are you up? Your class starts in 30 minutes. Why aren't you up?
Or you know what? Just get some rest, sweetie. I'll go for you.
I'll take notes.
Yes.
It's not a bad idea.
Stephanie and I kind of hope that we, and I don't really mean this. I don't really mean this. I was going to say, we hope that we're raising stunted children that won't want to move away.
I get it. Yeah. I know. I get it. Because it's like, oh, well, maybe she'll be one of those kids that wants to live in the basement. First of all, we don't have a basement. And second of all.
Well, you're happy to build one. Get started.
I'll start digging underneath the house.
I love that you're hoping she's one of those kids that wants to live in the basement. Can you hear what you're saying?
I know. Is that what we're hoping for?
I know. And that we hope our kids just never leave, never get an education.
Develop in any way whatsoever. No. Only stay in the house.
That's what everything you put your kids through and you teach them and send them off to places. And then ultimately you just hope they live in the basement. It's so gross what we're joking about.
No.
And obviously Kat is not destined for the basement.
No, she doesn't seem like she wants to live in the basement.
Have you brought it up to her that, and would you charge her? Or would she be able to move in for free?
Well, maybe the first few years for free. And then like, you know, year 3 or 4, it's like, hey, if you want to be a part of this community, you need to chip in.
If you want to continue living in our basement, okay.
But I get it. Oh, I get it. No. But, you know, my friends are like, oh, don't worry. She'll go off and she'll come back. And it's like, okay. Mm-hmm. If she doesn't, I'm going to hold you responsible. I mean, what do you tell your friends when they say that?
Sounds like good friendships you have. Very cultivated healthy relationships. As well as with your child that you're trying to keep in your basement.
In my house. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's good. It's hard. Bittersweet.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly bitter.
Mm-hmm.
But Tig,
yeah,
we have a lot to cover.
We do. We always have a lot to cover.
We have a lot to cover.
Doesn't mean we will.
No, it doesn't mean we will.
Mm-mm.
And at the same time, it's pretty straightforward, no? Well, there are things that I didn't know about this.
Oh, yeah. There were things I didn't know. And Thomas was asking me yesterday, last night, I guess, when we talked. He said, you know, I'd be curious to see what you did and didn't know, you know, because I'm a little music maniac.
Savvy, you like to think.
Yeah. So there were things I did not know.
Okay.
That was fun for me because I am thirsty for rock and roll knowledge always.
Oh.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be rock and roll, just music. I just love music knowledge.
Well, I hope you take the reins on this one then. You won't. But anyway, today we are talking about Cheryl with an S. Cheryl, so don't get it confused with me. It's okay. A 2022 documentary feature directed by Amy Scott, mm-hmm. featuring interviews with Sheryl Crow and many of her associates. The film charts the remarkable career of the singer-songwriter, from her time spent as a background singer to her ascent into superstardom. Sheryl is available to watch on Showtime. I also watched on Hulu. Mm-hmm. Am I allowed to say that?
You know, I don't think there's anyone monitoring this podcast. The closest we have to that is Mr. Thomas.
And it seems like he would, like, give us
Well, he works for us. You know what I mean?
Well, like, he
works for us.
I feel
okay?
like I work for him, to be honest with you.
I know. It
like,
does feel like
he has more answers than we do.
He does. He fixes everything.
He fixes everything.
Yeah. You're right. He's our boss.
He's our boss.
Yeah.
And our listeners are crazy for him.
I know. Well, they should
be. They love his mustache.
Yeah.
They
love
him.
Who doesn't love a mustache? I guess a lot of people don't. But I love a mustache.
I mean, I guess I do. I never thought of myself as a mustache
I mean, you lady. You saw my show recently, right?
Yes.
I talk about a mustache.
Talk about that really made me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, well. I've been trying to recount it all to my friends and I don't know, something about stand-up comedy when you're trying to tell your friend what your other friend did in her stand-up act.
Yeah.
It doesn't translate that well.
Yeah, I imagine it wouldn't. But I'm very curious now to hear your delivery of...
Well, first of all, I love firemen.
Uh-huh.
Firefighters.
Okay, yeah.
Men, women, you name it.
Yeah.
Just in those... I was going to say outfits. I'm sure it's not called an outfit. I'm sure they don't go, oh, there's a fire. Let me put on my outfit.
Yeah, it feels like their mother dressed them. You know, if it's like, it's put like, on your outfit. There's a fire. Honey, put on your outfit.
Oh, uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're uniforms. Mm-hmm. They just look like the most powerful people in the world.
Well, they basically are.
They basically, especially in that moment, mm-hmm. if you need a firefighter and they show up, you are, you know.
You're in luck because here comes a firefighter.
And if you have a fire, that's the person you want to see.
Yeah.
So when you're stand up, I mean, I don't want to blow it for Pete. I don't want to spill beans.
I think even whatever you say.
It's not even going to be close to.
No, it's not. You'll still get to hear the story.
Yeah. Okay. So, no, I went to see your stand up because we had a little party for your album release.
Yes.
And you were hilarious. And no, you
thank you.
You tell a story about you had to call 911 in the middle of the night and you were in your nightgown, which of course, as soon as you say nightgown, there's a pause and then everybody laughs because it's like, you're not wearing a nightgown. I don't know what you wear to bed.
How did you feel in that moment? Did you feel like, oh, Tig wears a nightgown?
For one moment, I was like, whoa, she wears a nightgown. And then, which I didn't think was too, it sounded funny because nobody even says nightgown anymore.
Uh-huh.
Nightgown. You might say
what
night,
do they say?
Nightshirt. I wear a nightshirt.
Wait, like really, literally a shirt, like a long shirt that maybe a football player would wear?
Well, I mean, it's made for a lady.
A lady. It's made for a lady.
It's just like a long shirt that you wear because, you know, my legs get hot. We don't need to go into
We don't need to go into your sweaty legs and your bunions.
We haven't even started talking about this documentary. Oh, my God. And who was I just talking to where they were like, wow, that sounds great. I'm going to have to start listening because I love documentaries. I was like, you know
oh,
what?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Don't listen to this show if you love documentaries.
But if you like bunions, please.
If you love a bunion, welcome aboard.
No, but when you said you had on your nightgown, I was like, I paused for 1 second, and then I was like, she can't wear it.
That can't be right.
And then the firefighter came in, and he had on his boots and his firefighter.
So wait, this is your delivery of my well-crafted material that I've worked on the past couple of years? Yeah.
And by the way, I didn't really get many laughs when I recounted it, so I was like, wow, Tig's material isn't that strong.
Doesn't hold up. When you're drunk at a party
trying to tell people someone else's stand-up And I was like, you know, and he's wearing the pants and suspenders, but no shirt. And then the nightgown was flapping in the breeze. And they're just like, yeah, can you just make us another drink?
Would you please stop single-handedly ruining my stand-up career? Drunk at parties.
Okay. But anyway, Lisa, I'm not going to keep talking and spilling the
beans. Oh, no. That's it? That's all we get?
That's all you get.
People are probably riveted on the edge of their seat.
We've got to talk about Cheryl.
Okay. Yes.
Oh,
we
got to
take a break,
Thomas,
first.
Thomas.
You can't get mad at him. We have to take a break, and then we will come back and talk about the extraordinary Sheryl Crow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we are back to talk about the documentary Sheryl, finally.
Yes, so Sheryl Crow is who we're talking about. And she grew up in a small town.
Who we should be talking about.
Yes.
Who we have not yet mentioned.
Oh, and I was thinking about that. I'm like, oh, God, if she was on this show, could you imagine?
Well, I think we would have behaved ourselves.
We wouldn't have talked about bunions. If Cheryl was on this podcast and all we did was talk about bullshit for like the first 15 minutes and she would be like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah.
Okay, Cheryl grew up in a small town in Missouri.
Knew that.
I didn't. She sounds so Southern. Are Missourians?
Yeah, they can sound like Sheryl Crow.
I guess so.
She's got a great, not just singing voice, but speaking voice.
Yeah.
Don't you think? I find her accent charming.
It's very charming.
Yeah.
She's a very charming person. She majored in music at University of Missouri and was in a cover band after college.
Mm-hmm.
This was interesting.
Okay.
She was engaged to a born-again Christian and taught elementary school, but after she landed a McDonald's commercial and made as much in 45 minutes as she did in 2 years of teaching, she packed her bags and headed to L.A.
So it sounds like she probably made 50 or 60,000 off that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Commercial?
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I was crunching numbers.
As you do. Love to crunch
numbers. I love to crunch a number.
She did the jingle. But see, when I heard, when she said that I did a McDonald's commercial, I automatically think of actors like, hi, I'll have a Big Mac, please.
Oh, right. She was singing.
She was singing.
Oh, hi, I'll have a Big Mac, please. That was good, Cheryl. Was that your audition?
I'm available for hire. And by the way, one of my first jobs in high school.
Oh, we're going off the rails.
I don't know if I told you this, but in Tallahassee, I did work at McDonald's and there was a little caboose. They had a little train caboose parked next to McDonald's. And my friend Linda and I would throw birthday parties for kids in the caboose.
As a job or as weirdos?
That was my job.
Well, you know, I don't want to turn this episode into a big McDonald's commercial, especially as a vegan person
I
am. But I have to tell you,
tell
Stephanie
it.
Was driving our two adorable children, Max and Finn, 5-year-olds, to see their grandmother. It's a 2-hour drive from our house. And she said they needed to make a bathroom
stop.
And Stephanie was like, oh, I'll just pull over here. And they saw the big M. Mm-hmm. And Finn said, is that M Cafe? which is a vegan restaurant in Los Angeles. Oh. Not Mick Cafe.
Right, that's
M Cafe.
Okay.
No, M Cafe. And Stephanie was like, do you understand they're almost six next month? They don't know what McDonald's is.
Wow.
And Stephanie said, no, it's McDonald's. And they were like, what's McDonald's? And Stephanie said, it's a fast food restaurant. And you know what the follow-up question was?
It's fast food.
Yeah. 6
That's
years.
Nice.
That is insane.
By the way, it's interesting because LA, my experience in LA is that there isn't as much fast food available everywhere. Like when I go back to Florida, it's everywhere. And if you're...
Why are we talking about McDonald's?
Because Cheryl...
Oh, right. The documentary.
And she did... and she did a jingle. And I don't even remember what the jingle was. If it's welcome... I don't know. McDonald's.
I'm going to soak up the sun.
That's all that goes into my head
since
I've seen this documentary. Yeah. Okay. So I guess she never married the guy.
For... Sure. I mean, 1,000,000%. You know, she had some engagements along the way, but it's so fascinating to, sorry to spill those beans. I know we haven't talked about the other ones, but.
The other ones?
Engagements.
Oh, okay.
Did you see the movie? But I was fascinated how you can think you're off and set to sail in life. You're a teacher and you're engaged to this born-again Christian. Is that what it was? A Christian guy? Whatever he was.
I missed that part, but yes.
Well, he's Christian.
Yes.
Like it was a defining part of who this person was. And so I would assume Cheryl probably thought, well, here I come. Here I am off to life.
Yeah.
Nope. No.
You took a wrong turn,
Cheryl. Which is always the right turn. You know, the wrong turn is always the right turn.
Fork in the road.
Yeah, it sets you in the right path, hopefully. And she clearly took some good turns. I mean, and not that marrying a Christian and getting engaged and being a teacher is the wrong turn.
Right.
But
for some people, that is the exact right turn.
You're on the right track, whoever you are.
But, you know, she says that she's driven.
Mm-hmm.
There was something, an interview in there where somebody said that she was described as driven.
Mm-hmm.
And she felt like, oh, that's not really a compliment.
Right.
So it's like a backhanded
compliment.
Insult? Is that a thing? A backhanded insult?
It seems like a front-handed insult.
That's like a coming at you. But it's not insulting. Yeah. If somebody called me driven, I wouldn't be insulted.
Well, I guess it's you're not acknowledging somebody's talent or that they care about
other things in their lives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That it's just like nose to the grindstone. Is that?
Yeah.
Is that like a grindstone cowboy?
I don't think that's okay. So she drives out to LA.
Mm-hmm.
She drives around to all of the record labels.
Yeah.
Handing her tape to people. And then she got a waitressing job at this cafe where a lot of music.
I wonder what cafe it was.
Oh, they said it was like Le Cafe.
Oh, okay.
or something like that.
I can't catch every bit of information.
No. And this guy, Les Hooper, came in.
Uh-huh.
I guess he's a big...
shot.
Big shot. I'm sure that's his... that's his card. His business card. Hey, Les Hooper, big shot. And she did a real ballsy thing and put her demo cassette tape... In the, you know, when you're a waitress and you put the check down on the little folder. And she put her tape in there. And she thought, I'm probably going to get fired for this. But it would be worth it. And she did get fired. And it was worth it. Because he listened to it. And he started getting her little gigs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of exciting, don't you think?
Very.
I mean, when I worked for... at Universal Studios.
Braggadocious alert!
Wee-wee!
Braggadocious alert!
One of the guys, I think Steven Spielberg came through to see our show, and one of the actors, like, folded up his headshot and resume and somehow gave it to Steven Spielberg, and they fired him.
Now, that's unfair because Steven Spielberg talks openly about how he snuck into Universal Studios and set up an office and would go to work there every day. So,
well, to be fair, I don't know that Steven ever got this folded up.
Well, I'm just pointing out unfairness in the world. There's a lot of it.
So sometimes it works and then sometimes you get fired and nothing happens.
But then sometimes you become Sheryl Crow. And also,
yes,
how great that she's got the last name Crow.
Is that a great last name?
Yeah. And also, I remember there was a period of time where there was a lot of Crow stuff going on in music.
Oh, it was like Counting Crows, yeah. Black Crows.
But I was like, whoa, all of these Crows. Just like,
and they were all great. All they those were all Crows great. Are great.
Yeah. And then none before that, none since. But all the Crows.
It was a Crow explosion.
Yeah.
So then she auditions for the Michael Jackson tour. See, I didn't know this. Did you know this?
I did. Okay, I knew this, yes.
And she gets the job. Mm-hmm. And she meets Scooter Weintraub on tour. Mm-hmm. They become great friends, and he eventually becomes her manager. Mm-hmm. And then she sings a duet with Michael on tour, and the press starts insinuating that they are romantically linked.
Which I'm sure they were. I'm sure they were in love.
Well, she says, too, she said that she didn't know anything about what Michael was doing in his personal life. And
well, and that's the thing is there was something that came up. What's his name? Who got in trouble just recently from the he was that child star. Fred Savage.
Oh,
Fred Savage. And then are you friends with Fred?
No, but it just
but I mean,
like,
yeah, it's a bummer. And I didn't know that. And I was telling Stephanie that it's that example of people will say things like, everybody knows it in Hollywood. I had never heard that about Fred Savage.
No.
I had never had any bad experience with him. He was always friendly. That was my experience. I'm not discounting that he was any other way with other people. But I didn't know.
Right.
Obviously, I didn't work closely with Fred Savage, but I know that there are people like Sheryl Crow that can work seemingly closely with people.
Yeah.
And not know them.
Right. Not know. You don't know what they're doing.
But it's hard for people to understand the dynamics of how entertainment can work sometimes.
Right. Because you seem like you have this intimate relationship.
Right.
And they're on stage and they're singing this duet and it looks like they're in love and they're
and they must hang out
Well, yeah, you're right. And it's the same with acting. Like you might be cast in something with somebody and you're making out with them, but you don't even know them.
Or you could be in the same movie and you never have a scene with them. And people are like, oh, what was this person like? And you're like, I never met them.
Is that how you say it? I never met them.
I forget that you ever saw me here.
Don't ask me about that person. I never met them.
No more questions.
Wow. Your press conferences must be great.
I do a lot of them, by the way.
But Sheryl says in this documentary that now that she looks back, that it's quite possible that story was planted about her and Michael being love interests.
Makes sense.
You know, and she said, you know, at the time she was just so young and naive, she wasn't even, didn't think about it.
Right. Why would you? Because you don't even know this person.
Right.
And you are just singing a duet. Why would you ever think anything? Why? Of course not.
Right.
Yeah.
Then this guy, Frank DeLeo.
Ugh.
That guy. Ugh, Frank DeLeo. Michael's manager.
Why Iotta?
He says he wants to help her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, clearly is harassing her and wants, I don't know, how do you phrase it?
Well, I don't know what his intentions are. They're not good.
They're
I don't know
not
if he's
good.
Wanting to marry this person or harass her or
but clearly,
whatever he's doing, it's not
whatever
welcome.
Whatever he's doing, it's intimidating and she's not interested in him.
Right.
And it's not reciprocal. And he basically is now sort of threatening her like,
You'll never work again.
Yeah. And she doesn't know what to do and she reaches out to someone that she really trusts and that person says, you should just stick it out. Just stick it out. Like, how is that? I mean, I think that was advice from a guy. But by the way, I mean, Cheryl's story is that she was basically just surrounded by men.
Pigs.
No.
No.
I think a lot of the men that she was surrounded by were not pigs, that were very helped her, like, you know, hone her craft and,
yes,
and helped her create things and were really helpful. And then there were some that were
pigs.
Okay. And
we have to take a break.
Oh,
Cheryl.
No.
Cheryl Hines, not Cheryl Crow. Cheryl Hines, not Cheryl, Cheryl Crow. Unfortunately, we only have Cheryl Hines on this episode.
You don't have to say it like that. It's a real letdown. No, we got the wrong Cheryl.
Ugly. Okay. Well, okay, we will be back to talk about pigs.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we are back on Tig and Cheryl True Story. If this is your first time joining us, we do want to apologize a little late for not really staying on track. No.
We've covered a lot of McDonald's stuff.
Yeah.
Which is great because
we don't eat meat.
They need okay. So Cheryl starts playing the keys. So interesting. This is what the outline says.
I was going to say, is that coming out naturally from your beak?
But you know, it's interesting because Cheryl's mom was a piano teacher.
Yeah.
So that's how she learned how to play piano. They were cute. Cheryl's mom and dad are in this documentary. They were cute.
Well, yeah. You and I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but you, here's a rock star, this iconic rock star, Cheryl Crow, and, you know, just having her highs and lows and, you know, probably comes from craziness. And then it's like, here are her parents still together sitting on their couch.
Their little couch and they're so sweet.
Teaching piano.
Yeah. Still teaching piano. Yeah, it was cute.
Unexpected.
Yeah.
Did you feel that way or you didn't think much about it?
I never really thought about her background. But you're right. I mean, seems like most rock and rollers.
Oh, God. We'll just bleep that out. Please. Yeah, it's like if you're going to, and I hate to be, you know, assumptions or judgmental, but I guess I would assume if you, maybe I'm wrong. You go to Keith Richards' house.
Right.
Are his parents sitting close together on a couch, married? I mean, I'm sure they're probably no longer with us.
Right, but back in the day. No, it seems like most people come from a background where if their parents are, I'm not saying her parents are conservative, but, you know, if they're quote unquote normal, then it's like the big F you, like, I'm leaving. I can't take this bullshit. Or if their parents are abusive, or then it's like, I'm leaving. I can't take this bullshit. But if it's just like your parents are.
Are this always the scenario?
But if your parents are, you know, supportive and just like.
And they're like in the audience at talk shows.
Yeah, and they're like, give it a try. It's like, okay, I'm going to head out.
Yeah. But her mother was trying to get her to come home. Remember, she had her success, and then she was like, and then we were hoping she'd come home.
Yeah, we're like, you did it. Come back into the basement.
Move into the basement. We don't have one, but we'll dig you one.
But I'm digging the basement. So Cheryl starts joining this Tuesday night music club, starts collaborating with Bill Bottrell, and they write this song called All I Want to Do. And Bill focuses all of his attention on Cheryl. All I want to do is have some fun. You're not the only one. Right?
So, Thomas, can you grab that audio and also oh, no.
Our listeners do not.
Put that with Cheryl singing?
They don't
singing.
Need to hear. They don't. So
in overlap those
so in 94,
two
Woodstock,
vocal tracks.
Cheryl gets noticed when she plays All I Want to Do. And then she goes on national TV and she, this is what was hard. Did we talk about this? So she plays All I Want to Do on David Letterman. And they show this clip in the documentary. And then David is so taken with her that he calls her over to sit down with him for a minute.
Yeah.
And she wasn't expecting it. She wasn't ready for it. She sits down. And on David Letterman, she sang Leaving Las Vegas. Remember that?
Such a good song.
Sing it.
I'm not going to.
I'm leaving Las Vegas. Something like that.
Did you buy this album when it first came out?
I didn't buy the album.
Okay, I did. When I heard this song.
Leaving Las Vegas.
Leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I was just like, whoa, out of my way. I was like, that. It was that sound that I didn't even know I was needing or looking
kind of
for. I was so. And also just, I mean, she has such vocal range, but I also loved kind of that real kind of almost lazy delivery of the lines, you know? It just was, I don't know. It was just, so, I loved it. I bought that album and wore it out. I did.
Listen, I believe you.
Okay. I don't want to fight about it.
So when David Letterman calls her over, she sits down, she's nervous talking to David Letterman, and he asked her about Leaving Las Vegas, and he said, is that autobiographical? And she says yes. Yeah, like just sort of going, I mean, was this your interpretation? She was just like going with whatever he's
in the documentary. She was saying that she wasn't prepared to be talking to him, and she didn't feel grounded within herself to actually be having an exchange with David Letterman, and things were kind of coming out of her mouth.
Right. And that's all she said was yes. And he said, have you lived in Las Vegas? No. And they're just having this sort of what I thought was light banter. And the fallout was that she didn't give credit to the author of the book that inspired the song. So there was a book called Leaving Las Vegas. And after that, people were criticizing her. Some people. I'm sure it was a handful of people, because it's probably less than a handful of people. But they were criticizing her because she didn't mention the guy who wrote the book. And that author died by suicide. And some people
connected the two.
Yes, connected the two, which I didn't know about. And I think that's so, it's so heavy and so sad. And of course that Cheryl was not at all.
Not responsible.
No.
Nobody's responsible.
No.
For somebody's
somebody
suicide.
Taking their lives. No.
Yeah.
Because listen, bad things happen to people, and it's hard, and life is hard. There are breakups. There are moments like this. There are difficult things in life. But if somebody takes their own life, that's their decision, and it cannot be. I mean, it's just so heavy. And she said that she really went into a deep depression. I mean, imagine she's like on top of the world because her songs are coming out and people are loving them, and then this happens.
Yeah.
Did you know about that?
I didn't know about that. No.
So And then her record won Song of the Year and Best New Artist in 1995 and
Record of the Year, right?
Record of the Year. You know what I thought was, it's not bad to say. I'm just saying what it is. There's a lot of Keith Richards in this.
Well, you know what I was going to say that I've noticed in music documentaries lately? Is I feel like he is the most available to chat on a documentary. I feel like any music documentary, we cut to Keith Richards. And he is the last person that you would think would be available for this kind of thing.
He's very sweet.
Yeah, very, very sweet, very available. And I feel like he's constantly in documentaries speaking highly of people. And I'm like, well, of course he's here. Why wouldn't we have Keith Richards?
He just has a little studio set up in his house where he's like, no, this is what I do these days.
Well, was that your Keith that Richards impression? That was terrible.
Oh, I thought I nailed it, by the way.
No, you didn't. It made me think about how, you know, when you're in the height of fame and fortune and celebrity and whatever, all that whole life, you know, you're probably not taking a lot of time to do these little interviews. But it feels like he's at that point in his career
I got the time.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure he's busy. I'm sure he's very busy. He's Keith Richards.
Yes, he picks and chooses.
That's a machine. Yeah. What's that?
Picks and chooses.
Oh, I thought you said he picks up his shoes.
Come on.
I was like, that doesn't have anything to do with anything, and it's improper.
Well, you know what they say about Keith Richards.
He picks up his shoes.
I mean, and the thing about Keith Richards is he's got a look.
Uh-huh.
He's got a definite, and you're the whole time you're looking at Sheryl Crow, and she's this sort of beautiful creature with the smooth skin and the flowing hair, and then they cut to Keith Richards, and you're like, whoa.
He doesn't have that.
he doesn't.
But I have to say, I feel like he is so charming and like cute in his little Keith Richards way that I could see how people would be like, like you just want to like kind of not like in a like I could see somebody falling for him and thinking he's cute.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Where you're like, because there are so many great things about him.
And I'd want to like pet his head, you know?
That's weird.
Which is all I'm really looking for in a relationship.
I do not feel like I need to pet his head.
Look, I'm not looking for anything with him, anything serious.
But you would like to pet his head.
Plus, he's also a really great guitar player. He's very interesting, his guitar playing.
So at some point, Cheryl gets a pink tour bus. That also kind of confused me because I thought tour buses
weren't pink.
Well, I thought it was like you sort of put your stamp on your tour bus. I didn't know they already came. Like, why is there a pink tour bus for sale?
I'm not in that business. Never have been. Don't see it coming down the road. But, you know, I mean, Cheryl was a teacher and engaged to a Christian. So
anything could happen. But, So at some point, Cheryl gets a call from Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
And gets flown by private jet to perform with the Rolling Stones.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so sweet. And she was like, she said she threw up all day. Which I get. Like, imagine, tonight you're going to go sing with Mick Jagger.
I'd be confused why they called me.
Well, I would be. Listen, if you got called to perform with Mick Jagger, I'd be so confused.
I don't think I'd throw up. I don't even know what would make me that nervous.
But I'd throw up.
You would?
Yes.
Why would Mick Jagger call you? I would be like, oh, my God. Stephanie, Mick Jagger's on the phone. I would be so baffled. I would be thrilled to talk to him, but...
Well, you know who called me once?
Could be anyone.
Out of the blue.
Babs.
No, I wish.
Looking for a pork taco.
No, I wish. Dustin Hoffman.
Mm.
I get a phone call and it's like, Cheryl, do you have a moment to speak to Dustin Hoffman? I was like, is this a joke? She was like, no. I said, oh, okay. Yeah, put him on. It's like, going to try to do my Dustin Hoffman, and it's not going to be good.
Do Dustin Hoffman as Tootsie.
I said good day. I said good day.
Wow. I feel like your Keith is better.
So Dustin is like, hey, Cheryl, I'm doing a table read, and I'd like for you to be involved if you... I don't sound like Dustin Hoffman at all.
No.
Shit.
And there's no reason to. You can just tell us what Dustin
I can just say
said.
What he said.
Yeah, yeah.
But the point was, he speaks in a low...
Rattling off all these terrible impressions.
I'm really on a roll today. Anyway, he asked me to be a part of a table read that he was doing for a new play.
Did you say no?
Of course. I said, yes, I will be there. And, you know, it was exciting. And we did a table read, and I played his sister in the table read. But anyway, this isn't about this Cheryl. This is about
the other Cheryl. The Cheryl with an S.
So she sang with Mick Jagger. That was a big deal.
Uh-huh.
Then she starts recording a new album with this woman, Trina Shoemaker.
Loved her.
She loves her equipment.
I mean, she is just like...
She's
a rocker, man. She is so passionate about what she does.
Yeah.
I love it.
She loves her equipment. So I'm going to barrel through.
Okay.
Sometimes people call me Cheryl Barrel.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Why?
More when I was younger, just because it rhymes with Cheryl. I don't have to explain it to you.
Okay.
But what was fun is... Cheryl went on tour with Lilith Fair.
Yeah.
And it was all the female performers. Did you see Lilith Fair?
I did. I mean, look at me.
Yeah, of course you
think
did.
I missed
like front row.
Lilith. Yeah,
I went.
I was basically the stage manager. I was taking tickets at Lilith Fair.
And then Brandi Carlile is in.
Wait, you did go to Lilith Fair?
Of course.
All right. Brandi Carlile, who you...
I am so similar.
Yeah, very similar singing voices.
Very similar singing voices to Brandi Carlile. She's in this documentary, which is so...
Yeah.
I love seeing her. And she described how Cheryl was an inspiration to her when she went to see Lilith Fair, and she was like, wow, I want to do that.
Well put.
This is nutshelling it. Cheryl has a second engagement to a guy that we don't really get into, that guy, but he
was a casting director.
Oh yeah, casting director. Seemed nice.
Yeah. Seemed nice.
But then she started, in my opinion, panicking. Uh-huh. Like, oh boy, is this it?
Yeah.
Is this what married people do? She breaks it off. She moves to New York. And then now Cheryl is experiencing some crash and burn, if you will.
Even if you won't.
And she records the song Soak Up the Sun with Jeff Trott. I want to soak up the sun. I want to tell everyone to lighten up. And it goes very well. People.
Better than what? You just did.
But she gets very depressed. And she's overworked. And at some point, she even is considering suicide.
I know. That was intense.
That was intense. Just talking about depression and how it's strong. And those urges are strong. And you have to somehow get through it.
Yeah. I was so impressed with how candid she was.
Yeah, I was too.
I was like, she wasn't cutting any corners in that...
that part.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was really important. I think it's important for people to hear someone like Sheryl Crow talk about it, because it's a very human instinct in people. You're not alive if you haven't been depressed at some point in your life. So to hear someone... like her talk about it is powerful, I think.
Well, and to see somebody come through it and turn it around, and that shows the possibility that things can
turn around,
get better.
I mean, a lot of times you have to get through it. And her friend Scooter, you know, she said he was has always been there for her and helped her through those times.
Mm-hmm.
And then she started dating Lance Armstrong.
Yeah.
Also didn't really talk about it that much in this documentary. Did you feel like?
No. And you know who she skipped over completely?
Hmm.
And there's a song that people think is specifically about this person. And this could just be me, you know, soaking up too much rock and roll information.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, she dated Eric Clapton years ago.
I didn't know that, but I did see him in this documentary for one tiny second. And I thought, oh, is that Eric Clapton? But she doesn't say it.
Right. And I thought, but when I first started watching this, I was like, I wonder if she's going to acknowledge Eric Clapton, because I have no idea what happened there with Eric Clapton, because he seems like an unmentionable person in her life. And then her song, My Biggest Mistake.
Ah.
Or My Best, My Favorite Mistake.
Oh, My Favorite Mistake.
Is supposed to be maybe about Eric Clapton. And I don't know if she's said that before or people just speculated.
If you're listening, Eric.
And he is.
Hey, Eric. Hey.
They played that song right during the time.
Ooh, that they yeah. showed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there's no way to know. Unless you're listening, Cheryl. Hey, Cheryl. Hey.
But she doesn't listen to, she doesn't follow her press. So,
oh, right.
Wouldn't this be press?
Mm.
Is this press? Are we part of the press? Oh, my God.
We are. We have our finger on the
Cheryl,
pulse.
Cheryl, the press is here to talk to you. I'm sorry. It's just Tig and Cheryl.
So she dated Lance Armstrong, and that mm-hmm. was when all of the Lance Armstrong stuff, and that was interesting too, because they did show like the clip of him on CNN, was it CNN,
yeah.
saying, of course I'm not going to
yeah.
dope.
I'm sure he said that on every yeah. news channel too.
So that looked like that was a strain on their relationship.
Makes sense.
And then he proposed to her and she said no.
And what was crazy, yeah. oh, I'm no. about to spill beans, but
well,
the cancer, and then she was diagnosed with cancer right after him. I remember hearing that in the news and being like, she has cancer now?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So she was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a lot. But she has, you know, in this documentary, she talks about having really good girlfriends like Laura Dern.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who really helped her through these times. Oh, I thought that was interesting too. Kind of out of nowhere. I don't know. Like you're watching this documentary and then Laura Dern pops up and it's like, oh, I didn't know. And then they moved in together.
Well, you know, they dated for years.
Did they? No. Did they? No. Did
no.
they?
No.
Oh.
No. And I'm friendly with Laura Dern.
Same.
Braggadocious alert.
Same.
And I didn't know that she was friends.
Well, I guess it doesn't come up like, oh, remember the time I lived with Sheryl Crow?
Right.
But for some reason, I thought it was just kind of funny.
Yeah.
But just out of nowhere, it's like Laura Dern sort of pops up and she's like, yeah, we lived together because
mm-hmm.
we would go to dinner like four nights a week. So we decided, why not
to
just
move in together?
It's like, oh, I didn't know that was in the next step in a friendship. Okay.
I know there could be a different story where they're like, somebody says, oh, we went to dinner all the time. And then she suggested we move in together. And I said,
that's a lot.
No.
We can why? Just still all drive
yeah,
to your
why
house.
Why can't we just meet at restaurants?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thomas and I are moving in together. Why? Well, I mean, he records my podcasts every week.
So let's just cut
twice
out.
Twice a week.
Yeah.
Both of my podcasts. He's there on Zoom. Why would I not move in with him?
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. I think that makes yeah. sense.
Yeah. Actually, me, Thomas, and Cheryl are moving in together.
I would love that so much. We're all just getting coffee in the morning. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Who didn't replace the filter? Thomas.
All of us. Cheryl and I didn't, but who knows how to replace the filter? Thomas.
Thomas is the only one, and we refuse to learn.
And we do not want any of this information. Go change the filter. What filter, Cheryl?
Okay, listen, she survives breast cancer. Mm-hmm. She realized she really wanted a family.
Yeah.
And her mom was so cute. And her mom said, mm-hmm. well, why don't you have a family?
Yeah.
You can adopt.
You can get a sperm donor.
Yeah. So she did. She adopted two boys. She moved to Nashville. And she, you know, hangs out with, oh, and she recorded Threads with her musician friends like Kris Kristofferson, Willie Nelson,
who's incredible,
Keith
who's
Richards, incredible. And Stevie Nicks.
Who's incredible.
But did she record with them? Oh! Thomas was one step ahead. Eric Clapton is on Threads.
Huh?
Oh, my gears. Okay, so now I have to go back and listen to Threads.
Okay.
So have we talked about this? Have you seen, you've seen Cheryl in concert?
I saw Cheryl in concert the first time when I lived in Austin. And I worked at this live music venue. I think it was called The Backyard.
Okay.
And I, my job was folding and folding back up folding chairs for this outdoor venue. And I worked there so I could see
the band
live music. Yeah. And Cheryl was one. And I was just floored by how many instruments she played.
Yeah.
I couldn't even believe it. It was like accordion, guitar, piano.
Yeah. I saw Cheryl like not that long ago in Chicago in this really cool amphitheater. And she sang, you know, been a long time since rock and roll.
Yeah, and it's called rock and roll.
And I'm telling you, she...
Can we also grab that clip, Thomas, and put that with Robert Plant?
She lit the place on fire.
Yeah.
And she was the sexiest person I've ever seen. And honestly...
Yeah.
She made eye contact with me during that song.
Oh, boy.
No, because I had talked to her before the concert, said hello. And then when she was singing, I am telling you.
She winked at you?
Oh, more than winked. Like she
mouthed, I want you.
She was letting me know, hey, I will see you
You're
in my dressing room.
You and the other, all the thousands of people.
But I think it was something directed to me. Listen, I've never been more attracted to a woman in my lifetime than when she was in her tiny leather pants singing right at me.
Okay, that's how everyone in the audience felt, Cheryl. And she winked at the whole audience and mouthed, I'll see you backstage, hot stuff.
I wish she were here because she could.
Okay, if she was so into you, why did she turn down the request to be on this episode? Okay. Well, now, where were we?
Maybe she can't handle the heat.
No, she wants to soak up the sun. Do you remember the song? She can handle.
Want to soak up the sun. Okay, listen, we got to wind it down.
Okay.
We've got to wind it down. But it's fair to say she's a very talented, sexy.
Easy.
She's no Keith Richards, but she is. And it was really interesting to you know, watch her and watch her story unfold, I thought. Did you feel the same way?
I did. I loved it.
Tig, it's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts.
Okay.
Where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
I did not. Did you?
No, I did not. But it was close, but no. This is a really tough one. Who were you attracted to?
Sheryl Crow.
Can I just say, as much as I am attracted to Sheryl Crow... And, of course, thought I was going to have one night of sheer bliss with her. That didn't
and
pan out.
Thousands of other people.
In the documentary, there's a clip of her singing with Mick Jagger. I mean,
he's Mick hot Jagger. Pants, too.
I mean, Mick Jagger.
Yeah, he's hot
if,
pants.
If you thought the world was ending in, you know, 2 minutes and you're stuck on an elevator, wouldn't you want it to be with Mick Jagger?
I mean, I would choose Sheryl Crow.
Really?
She's way more my type.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to spend some time with him if he's free and interested. I'm happy to spend time with Mick Jagger, but as far as attraction,
yeah,
and being,
you're going to make out right before the world ends.
Right before the world ends,
you want to
Sheryl
be Sheryl
Crow. Yeah,
it's a real tough one.
It's not.
All right, I'll give you easiest. Sheryl, and I'll take Mick.
Okay,
but this
what
was also Mick
end of world.
Mm-hmm. This would be such a crowded elevator. We're all dense.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Tig, that is all for this week's episode.
Okay.
Next week, we'll be talking about Our Father on Netflix. Mm. I'm excited about
it. I'm very excited.
Twists and turns. Okay. Here is a quick true fan mail. This is from Jamie V. Hey, Jamie V.
Hey,
Tig and Sheryl. Hey, I'm embarrassed to say that my teenage daughter's current favorite joke is, do you like Imagine Dragons? Sure. Imagine Dragon D's nuts across your face. Oh my God. I hope that helps. Also, D's nuts and snacks is located in good old Jacksonville, Florida.
Of course.
Oh, wait. Is there really such a thing called D's Nuts? I mean, I know
Sheryl,
we talked about
know.
The t-shirt that was D's Nuts.
I don't know.
I think there's a place called D's Nuts and Snacks.
All good things come from Florida.
Thank you for making me laugh every Monday. Snurkable for life, Jamie. So that's it for today.
Okay, check out my tour dates at tignotaro.com and check out Don't Ask Tig, my other podcast.
And
and buy my album.
Yeah,
Drawn.
Buy her album, for heaven's
sake. Buy my album.
And Flight Attendant is wrapping up, you guys. It's going to be a scorcher. Okay, that's what we got.
Sheryl.
Yeah.
Should we do it again?
Yeah, let's do it again. Well, then nothing like Billy and me, because all I want to do is have some fun. You're not the only one. All I want to do. Have some fun. And a deity, you're not the only one. All I wanna do is have some fun. Right? Tig and Sheryl True Story is hosted by me, Sheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Gabby Kovacic and Thomas Willett, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Willett, with music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Patrick McDonald and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandsherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.